episode of Ice Pilots NWT. The DC-3 tackles a hard landing on a soft sand strip. The McBryans receive a special delivery. And Chuck goes ballistic when the Electra won't start.
Hang on, boy.
Oh, yeah!
I wish that I could fly into the sky, so very high, to anywhere I please. Oh, oh, oh yeah! I want to get away. I want to get away. I want to get away. I want to get away.
Out of your hats, boy.
Every available body and every able plane is on the move at Buffalo Airways.
We have every single pilot at Buffalo's disposal flying today. And that's a feat I haven't seen in about 3 years. We're going to have three DC-3s, 46, and the Electra all going, so that'll suck up everybody.
With the ice roads closed and fire season set to start, Buffalo is stretched to the max.
Okay, clear. Switch. See you guys later.
There's a lot of shit coming up.
Yeah. It always happens about this time every year. All hell breaks loose.
And that's a problem for the airline's most vocal mechanic, Chuck Adams.
Oh, f***ing short, man. There's just no experience. Where are you going to hire guys to work on this old stuff?
With most of Buffalo's fleet between 50 and 75 years old, the airline is thin on qualified mechanics who know these planes.
Oh, yeah. Really thin.
It's getting harder and harder to find experienced people for that stuff. They're all f***ing dead.
And it won't be long before Chuck will have more to gripe about.
Our APU will not light.
Do they have any idea if they can fix it?
Right at quitting time, Mikey and his brother Rod, Buffalo's director of maintenance, get a distress call about one of their Electras on a contract in Manitoba.
Tried several attempts and they can't get it started. We are loaded, but we're not going to go anywhere from here tonight.
I guess we're
that way, yeah.
1,200 kilometers away, the Electra is stuck on the tarmac. The auxiliary power unit, or APU, is dead.
APU is basically like the heart of the airplane that gets everything going.
On turbine engine planes like the Electra, the APU sends a blast of compressed air to start the engines and power up the electrical systems.
So if they couldn't get started, means they can't start the airplane.
And the Electra in Manitoba needs to make an important delivery to a mining camp in the morning.
Right now they've tried everything they can think of, but we'd probably better call it a night here.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we have to do that.
Buffalo has to act fast to save the Electra contract. And the man for the job is Chuck.
Push back. Arnie, push it.
Down, go.
Chuck is taking the APU out of Buffalo's other Electra. If the broken APU on the Electra in Manitoba can't be fixed, Chuck will transplant this one into the grounded plane.
I'm the one that's going to do all the traveling all the time. I'm getting real sick of it.
In Thompson, mechanic Adam Smith is in over his head.
It was my first ride in the Electra, the first time I'd even gone anywhere with it. I had no experience with the APU at all.
What happens if I go there and flick a switch and it starts?
You better punch Adam in the face. You know how much a DC-3 costs at midnight? On a Thursday? During playoffs? Okay.
They load the replacement APU.
Three.
Keep coming.
The very heavy replacement APU into the DC-3. It tips the scale at over 1,000 pounds.
Those boys are strong. Holy smokes. Oh, here. Whoa, get up there.
Right there.
You want to run your mind through everything else one more time, Chuck?
No, I'm good to go. Let's boogie woogie.
Go off 1364.
1364.
There's a long night ahead for Chuck and the DC-3 crew. And Chuck won't get any rest on the flight.
I don't sleep in an airplane. Never have. Because I don't know what the f***ing ding-dongs up in the front are doing.
It's a 4-hour flight from Yellowknife to Thompson, Manitoba. By the time the DC-3 touches down on the Thompson runway, it's after 4 a.m. The Electra crew are all fast asleep in their hotel rooms. But Chuck's work is just beginning. With one attempt to start the APU, Chuck's expert ears pick out the problem. The APU is flooded. Fuel has soaked the igniter.
So then the igniter won't ignite no more. It's just like a spark plug on your car. You flood it, it doesn't spark anymore.
After only 10 minutes, he believes he's found the cause. Fuel isn't flowing properly through the fuel nozzle.
Well, yeah, the fuel nozzle was plug solid. Well, you might as well just have a hose running in there. There is no spray pattern, it's just dripping. It's flooding out the igniter. So the igniter won't ignite no more.
Carbon buildup on a fuel nozzle is common in an aging unit like this one. After carting a 1,000-pound replacement APU across the country, the solution could be as simple as cleaning out a dirty nozzle.
You're going to be f***ing pissed if this thing works, eh? Chuck's just going to have f***ing dragon rights forever on the other boys.
That bitter?
She's gonna
fire up.
That's it, she's good.
I would say so.
Oh, let's get the hell out of here.
It was a red-eye flight in the DC-3 for an instant and obvious solution.
4 hours for what, 15-minute fix?
I'm working a bunch of twits.
Wow. He knows those Electras inside out backwards. APUs, everything.
Once again, Chuck has saved the day.
Oh, this is great. This is real great. Everybody thinks I'm a hero, but it's not necessarily a hero situation here.
A simple fix. So sending the spare APU on the DC-3 was all for nothing and a huge waste of money. Now, somebody has to explain it.
That's it, boys.
To Buffalo Joe. Just a few hours after Buffalo's DC-3 crew landed Manitoba, the sun is up.
What's up, bro?
And so is Chuck Adams.
There were famous words on Apollo 13, eh? Houston, we have a problem. At Buffalo, it's Chuck, we got a problem.
He's doing a final check that the auxiliary power unit he fixed is working and starting up the Electra's 4 turbine engines.
Good. Everything's A-OK now. Never fails.
That's the difference between experience. I've got none, and he's got a ton.
That's why Chuck will replace Adam on the Electra. And the crew can resume flying mining equipment to a remote site further north.
Please clear.
But the unnecessary emergency DC-3 flight last night to fix the Electra's APU took a big bite out of this job's profit margin.
As you can imagine, flying DC-3 halfway across Canada is not a cheap thing to do, especially when you're not getting paid for it.
Power's yours, I'll leave you to the center line. Gears up.
The final price tag for a 15-minute fix with a crescent wrench? About $30,000. But back on the ground down in Thompson...
Well, we haven't had a plane like this in here for a long time for any of the lodges.
Buffalo might have just caught a lucky break for the DC-3.
We only brought four seats, so we'll be able to haul passengers. But...
I happened to spot the DC-3 on the tarmac over there, as I've got... three big pallets of lumber and some pigs of propane that need to go up to the lodge and been sitting waiting for 3 years.
Paneling. Oh, it's paneling. Oh, shit.
Doug Weber needs to get supplies to his fishing lodge on an isolated lake further north.
Don't often get an airplane this size to come in here, so we gotta be ready for when it happens, and it took us 3 years to get ready. We're patient.
His lumber has been sitting on the tarmac for 3 years and is showing its age. But Doug's confident it can be salvaged.
It'll take a little grind out before we can use that.
A huge fan of the DC-3, Doug cleared a landing strip by his lodge big enough to land just such a plane. But in two decades, no plane this size has ever landed there.
It's been a dream of mine to get a 3 in on that strip for 20 years.
All those were the cargo airplanes of the day. But shortly after we got the lodge built and the strip built, the DC-3s disappeared in that part of the country. So,
well, check it out. See.
Doug still believes that if you build it, they will come. Eventually. There's only one problem. The strip near the lakeshore is made of sand. On touchdown, the landing gear of the 25,000-pound fully loaded DC-3 could sink into the sand, causing the plane to skid out of control on the unstable surface.
I got the propane and the lumber ready to go now. I just gotta get a few.
But if the DC-3 can land on the sand strip, this last-minute charter could help pay for yesterday's flight here.
That one little trip would have paid for the fuel.
Still there?
But first, Arnie needs clearance from Buffalo Joe.
Only thing is, I want to know what strips are going in it.
We don't know the strip. It's called Knife Lake.
Back in Yellowknife, at the weekly pilots meeting, Joe weighs the risks.
On the land.
And what do they land there in the summertime?
Beavers.
Beavers.
No.
He turns to lodge owner Doug Weber for more details.
Hello.
Hey, Doug?
Yeah?
I got you on speakerphone here with my father, Joe. We just got a couple questions about your strip there at Knife Lake there.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, Joe, here. What kind of airplanes have you used it?
We've had Commander... Twin Otters, Islanders, nothing really close to the AC-3 size, but...
Doug's answer isn't what Joe wants to hear.
Sand is a very movable surface, so if you land a DC-3 on a sandy strip that isn't, you know, somewhat compact, you can lose control of the airplane and, you know, do a lot of damage.
Joe needs to guarantee the safety of his crew and his DC-3. The lodge owner has an idea.
But we'd be going in probably check it out. You've got a crew here. We can take one of them with us, whatever.
A scouting trip in a smaller plane will tell them if the strip is safe.
As soon as
possible. Okay.
They're going to go in and do a strip check before we go in.
Yeah, okay, do it. Hang on to this. I want to ask you about something.
All the stress of this busy season comes at a bad time for Rod McBrien. He's already got a lot on his mind.
He's sleeping.
He's smiling.
His wife, Sasha, is due to give birth any day.
The battle that I fight is between home life and work life. If you can make the industry, the aviation industry, and your home life work, that would be the key.
The phones are always ringing. They're always running back to the airport. Rod doesn't have just a job, definitely. We live a lifestyle. His dad certainly doesn't take many days off, so he doesn't feel, I guess, that he should either.
The new baby will throw a big wrench into the balance between home and work.
And I'm kind of nervous because I know what I've been doing my whole life. Now I have to figure out what somebody else needs.
But some things are non-negotiable. Rod won't be trading in his Shelby Mustang for a minivan.
I think they were built to drive, not to put in a garage.
And even if it's impractical, Rod's determined to make it all fit.
Yeah, I picked out a baby seat. There's actually an attachment in the back, so thanks to Ford and Shelby, they've thought of that for me.
But with things heating up at Buffalo, fitting parenthood into his job could be a lot harder than fitting a baby into his car. The next morning, the Electra returns to Yellowknife. The job in Manitoba is done. But Chuck and the crew aren't getting any downtime.
Could be a long day.
Yeah, it's 6 hours before we're home, but with the loading and whatever, we're going to be 7 hours or whatever.
At least.
Yeah, we're just loading up the Electra, heading up to the High Arctic.
A new grocery store is set to open in the far north of Nunavut Territory. They need enough stock to fill an entire supermarket. And there's only one plane at Buffalo that can fit the last minute load.
How are we looking?
If we crash, we'll never starve. We won't have to eat each other's bodies. We can live on chips for about 2 months. Well, tell me it's over here. We gotta go.
But this rush job isn't rushed enough for everybody.
We should have been out here 2 hours ago.
With the Electra task to go, Chuck has been tasked to go with her. And he's happy as ever to be taking another flight.
Right cranky.
Well, it's like I said, the monkey's got to go with the Electra. If anything goes wrong, I got to get the APU going.
Yeah, look at this. Everything put away, but dang, we're going flying with this, I guess. This must be like a new addition to the airplane.
Somebody forgot to remove the tail pole.
Some goddamn friggin' pilot. Now I gotta put my coffee down again. Sakes.
But he's a hell of a good engineer. We have to tolerate a lot with that.
Clear left and ahead.
With the work piling up on the ground, Chuck wants to get this flight behind him as soon as he can. But the Electra might have some ideas of its own. In Thompson, Manitoba, Chief Pilot Arnie Schrader taxis his DC-3 across the tarmac. He'll begin loading lumber destined for a fishing lodge further north. Arnie is taking a chance, loading before he's sure he can land on the sand strip by the lodge. Owner Doug Weber built the strip for big planes. But the sandy surface could be too soft for the heavy DC-3. 67-year-old Arnie helps get the cargo on the DC-3, which is as old as he is.
Tilt forward.
If you're going to fly these type of airplanes, the older airplanes that are freighters, you're going to do a lot of that.
Keep going. Good. You're good.
They attract not the nicest loads in the world.
There's not too many chief pilots of his antiquity that are able to push a big pig of propane up on a set of forks.
Stature sounds better.
I'll go with stature.
Okay, stature.
She's got right there. Perfect.
4 days ago, I would have never believed this could happen.
Doug's waited 3 years for the right plane to come along to move this lumber.
Stress is slowly starting to dissipate. I'll be happy when I see that thing touch down at North Knife Lake. That'll be the finale.
But that won't happen until Arnie confirms whether Doug's sandy strip can handle this much plane. And it's time to find out.
You are, man.
Nelson Barber, how are you?
Good to see you.
Yep. You guys up in the back?
Doug's son-in-law has arrived with a Cessna 185 so they can scout the landing strip.
We're going to go scope her out, man. Moment of truth.
Okay. Doug's fishing lodge is on North Knife Lake, 240 kilometers away. As they zero in, everyone's mind is on the landing and what it will tell Arnie about Doug's sand airstrip.
The dangers are they can be too soft, they can be washed out, they haven't been used.
The Cessna touches down on the sand, but at 3,000 pounds, this small aircraft is only a fraction of the weight of a 25,000-pound DC-3.
We taxied through the whole strip, you know, and walked over a bunch of it. You have a good look at them, just to make sure, you know.
It's got about 3 inches of soft, eh? That's it. It's a little soft up at the top there, but we'll be slowed down by the time we get there.
Arnie makes his call.
I'm going to go get the three and come back.
It's not perfect, but he's willing to try.
All right, have fun, you guys.
Okay.
See you in about 3 hours.
3 hours or so, yeah.
Be a real thrill to see the three come in here and land on a strip that's never seen one before.
That landing will be the true test of whether this runway built for a DC-3 can actually handle a DC-3. Meanwhile, 1,500 kilometers north, high above the Arctic Circle, the Electra approaches the remote Nunavut community of Tulalip, in the middle of the Northwest Passage. Back in the 1830s, polar explorer Sir John Ross's ship was stuck in the ice here for 4 years. During that time, Ross discovered the always shifting magnetic North Pole, which at that time was right near Tulalip.
2 miles.
Now the Electra crew, including reluctant mechanic Chuck Adams, is bringing a huge load of groceries to the isolated town. Co-pilot Graham Ferguson has come along to help unload, just for a chance to see the true Arctic.
I don't know what to expect. This is pretty cool, though. This is crazy. I've never been north of the tree line before. It's like literally a town in the middle of nowhere.
But Chuck's seen it all before. He spent a lot of time up here back when it was called Spence Bay. All he cares about is a quick turnaround, so he can get back to the work waiting at home. By the time the crew finishes unloading, it's well into evening, and everyone's eager to take off.
It's 9:11, and we'll be out of here within about... If Chuck would start number 5, we could be out of here in about 10 minutes flat, but...
Okay, let's go.
We're going to be...
Get the in the seat.
Number 5 is the APU that Chuck just fixed in Thompson. Without a blast of compressed air from the APU, the plane's 4 big engines won't start.
There, I'm ready to go. See, without me, they don't go nowhere. They can flick switches all f***ing day.
But today, even Chuck might not get them moving.
It was great till the APU wouldn't start. Again.
The APU starts turning. But it's not firing.
Goddamn f***ing shit.
Engine number 5 is turning out to be a big zero.
So I go through the exact same scenario. Doesn't work. Doesn't work.
I think it's plugging up again.
Once again, fixing the APU is all up to Chuck.
I hate this goddamn shit.
Back in Thompson, Manitoba, the DC-3 crew gears up for the journey to the sand landing strip. At their destination, Doug Weber preps for the arrival he's been hoping to see for 20 years.
We just kind of wait until an opportunity comes along, and this time it was a bit of a long wait, but I think it's going to be worth it.
But as his dream gets closer to reality, there's still no guarantee the sand strip will provide enough traction for the mammoth DC-3. The crew won't really know until their wheels hit the sand. In the air over North Knife Lake in northern Manitoba, DC-3 Captain Arnie Schrader hones in on his target.
Hey, give me the gear down.
A sand runway that's never seen a plane this heavy. If the sand is too soft, the wheels could dig in too deep, causing Arnie to lose control of the plane. Sand strip holds up, and lodge owner Doug Weber's dream has come true.
Well, I guess we built a not a bad DC-3 strip, eh, Arnie?
No, it's good.
That was pretty cool.
It worked out just fine. I couldn't be happier, I'll tell you. This is just a great day for me, I'll tell you.
The strip has been properly christened, but the work is far from over.
Yeah, I got no loader, that's how you get them off me. This is about 600 pounds.
And even the 67-year-old captain has to pull his weight.
That should do enough. Didn't like it working it.
That's going to be a classic.
Yeah, it's a keeper.
It's a day Doug will never forget.
Be in my pants here.
He built a runway for a DC-3. And 20 years later, it came.
Pretty cool. That airplane belongs on this runway.
Thanks a lot, Arnie. You I betcha. Can't tell you how much I appreciate this.
Okay, well,
this
we enjoyed doing
a real
it.
Thrill for me.
It's time to rock and roll.
Job well done.
Thank you for the gift.
This last-minute delivery has helped Buffalo recoup the cost of sending the DC-3 to Manitoba in the first place. And it's made one lodge owner the happiest guy in the world.
Too cool!
Or at least the happiest guy on North Knife Lake. On the Buffalo ramp, Joe and his wife Sharon roll in after a flight from Hay River to Yellowknife.
Your boy.
Where their grandson Kenny has an update on one of the most important missions in Buffalo history.
So you don't know if Rod's gone to hospital or not yet?
No, they're not in the hospital. I just called them before you guys landed. It's getting harder.
Well, you better
the whole McBrien family is gathering for the birth of Rod and Sasha's baby. They plan to wait with Sasha at the house until the time comes. And then the women will head with Rod to the hospital.
They're basically sitting around measuring contractions, waiting for it to get to some sort of critical mass.
You're going to Rod's right now?
Yeah.
Is it going to be like PG-13 or?
I don't know.
At least that's the plan for most of the family.
I'm not a doctor by any means. Farthest thing away from a doctor. So during that whole thing there, I think the best I could do is just stay away.
But Mikey's girlfriend, Gail, has a different idea.
Once in a lifetime thing here.
There's a hockey game on right now.
Well, what's more important, a hockey game or your niece or nephew?
It depends how long the hockey game goes.
When everybody's worrying about the baby, there's a lot of help there. There's a lot of talent in that room, so I thought, hey, I might as well just go worry about what's happening in the hockey world.
So while the rest of the family heads to Rod and Sasha's house, Mikey hits the bar.
So I ran down to the local watering hole, Surly Bob's, with a couple of my buddies.
But Gail tracks him down.
Hey, Gail. I'm at Surly Bob's.
You're at Surly Bob's?
You know, the hockey game's on. And
just call us if you have any news, okay? They like you better than they like me anyway. Okay, bye. Well, yeah, she's not too happy. But anyway.
Up on the Arctic Ocean, the Electra is still stuck on the Tuloyoak tarmac, where mechanic Chuck Adams is wrestling with a power unit that refuses to start.
We got nozzles all plugged up.
It's deja vu all over again for Chuck.
My hands are frozen.
This time, Chuck doesn't have a spare nozzle. He's got to clean out the clogged one.
How does this go together now?
But cold and frazzled, getting the piece back into the right place has become a serious case of Humpty Dumpty.
See, that goes like so. Didn't think I was going to get it back together either. At all, we're really doomed. Which way does this f***ing thing go? It's going to look so.
It's already almost 11 p.m. under the 24-hour sun.
Hey, watch up.
It would really be nice to be home in my hot tub.
Dinner's going to be a little while longer.
Even with a clean nozzle, the APU refuses to fire.
But if it can be fixed, Chuck will fix it. I have faith.
The question now, can it be fixed?
Spray pattern's good, I'm getting fuel, but it still won't run. It should run.
Pop, for f***'s sake.
Give me the goddamn screws for it. Freeze to death here. I don't want to be fooling with Joe. See, I need another DC-3. Bring up another APU, because he'd go f***ing ballistic. That's why I wanted to get it going.
The engineer I used to work with said that sometimes that when you're trying really hard to make something happen, that if you walk away and just take a break, when you come back to it, you see it entirely different.
But that engineer wasn't Chuck Adams.
Jesus Christ, I'm going to need a 5/16 wrench, too.
He says he's got coffee in here, so he might come and have a cup of coffee and try it again.
I want to get the f*** out of here and go home.
Well, I know that.
Ah, just f***ing APU. I'm not going to stop until I get it solved. It's the way I've always been.
As the night wears on, Buffalo's Electra mastermind might have finally met the problem he can't solve. At the Stanton Territorial Hospital in Yellowknife, Mikey McBrien is searching for his family. He's hoping he's not too late for the birth of his brother's baby.
No one called, so we're getting kind of nervous. I just had a thought that, you know, if this is it, I have to get down there.
This is Ray Wonder.
Oh. I thought that was obstetrics. Sasha McBride?
They said to wait in the waiting room there, please. It's not a good time.
Sasha's in labor, but Mikey won't get any closer than the waiting room.
It looks like I'm locked out here, so we'll see. Hopefully everything's going good. And according to movies, this thing takes quite a while, so we'll see. We'll see what happens, and sit tight.
I need a 5/16 socket.
On the ramp in Tuloyoak, there's another waiting game going on.
When he sets himself to a project, he's pretty determined, all right.
The Electra crew still hopes Chuck can get them home. But Chuck is firing blanks.
He usually comes through. We have our fingers crossed here that he's going to do it again.
It's after 1 a.m. Chuck's been at it for 4 hours, and the crew is restless.
I swear the sun's coming back up right now. Like an hour ago, it was darker outside.
It's coming up over the horizon again there now.
Give me that 3/8 back.
And with the Arctic version of dawn already upon him, even the man who never quits...
Plan B, I'm gonna burn this thing for 10 minutes.
...is hitting his wall.
Basically, what's going through my head? I want to quit. I want to get on a dog sled, another airplane, and get the f*** out of here. My fingers are frozen. I couldn't feel anything anymore. And when you can't feel anything, there's no use doing it anymore.
Tomorrow, they might just have to call for a rescue plane to bring them a spare APU. Something Chuck doesn't want to happen again.
So we're going to be able to get roots tonight or what? We'll continue on this in the morning.
Okay. Let's see what we can do here.
In the Yellowknife Hospital, Mikey's also getting ready to call it a night.
You know, it's kind of funny. I was getting restless and... Wait, before I was going to go, my mom came out.
It's a girl.
No way.
Honest to God.
It just happened?
Just born now. Awesome. Wait till you see her. She's perfect.
Mikey updates Joe, still waiting back at the house.
Hi.
It's, they had it.
What is it?
It's a girl.
Really? Is everybody okay?
Yeah, no, everything's good.
It's crazy.
It's a girl.
Congratulations there, Rod. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's insane.
Gail was there. A couple times almost flamed out, but she was right there.
Oh,
yeah. There's all the rest. Oh, congratulations, Rod.
Thanks.
Oh, my God, Rod.
Joe and his oldest grandson, Kenny, arrive. Even Joe can't hide his happiness tonight.
Congratulations, Grandpa.
Oh,
we had to work it out for him now. I know what it's all about. So it'll be good for them. Yeah.
I'm happy for Rod. I'm happy for Sasha. I'm happy for this new baby girl we have in our family, and hopefully she can start work on Monday.
Just a few hours later in Tlalocac, Chuck's day is already beginning.
The rest of the guys up?
All of
them. But there's no more sleep for the guy who never likes to leave a job undone.
No!
That night, he slept maybe an hour.
Oh, my God.
I just can't go home and go right to sleep. I'm too wound up.
Right now, Chuck's mind seems as stalled as his APU.
Where's the door?
But he's their only hope for getting out of Tlalocac today.
Plan is, man, we're going to get this thing going right now.
But groggy as he is, Chuck's come to the ramp with a new theory. A bad switch between the battery and the igniter. He wants to bypass it with a wire directly to the battery.
Then I just thought, instead of going through the starter solenoid, which is directly off the battery, I'll go directly through the battery. There we go. Found a set of small jumper cables. Oh.
It's roadside assistance for a 57,000-pound turboprop airplane.
Go around that.
Oh, yeah!
The APU's clearly firing again. And there's more to come. Chuck's got to burn off all the fuel built up during his multiple failed attempts to start the system.
Hang on, boys.
Turning the APU into a flamethrower.
Okay, put it all away. I was happier than a pig in shit, man. We're on our way home. Out of here.
Why didn't you do this last night? You wanted to stay here one more night, I know.
I want to get out of here, because it might not fire up again. I spent a lot of time in Spence Bay. I want to make sure I can get out of there before they find out I might have some kids there. See any bald-headed, red-headed kids walking around? Don't be surprised. That's why I wanted to get out of there.
As Chuck fires up the APU one final time, with one final blast, his reputation as a miracle worker still stands.
had faith that he would, but it was just getting a little longer than he normally takes to get his magic done. But he did it.
And as the Electra finally gets up in the air, the guy who never sleeps on planes is down for the count. A new morning at the Stanton Territorial Hospital in Yellowknife, and the start of a whole new life for Sasha and Rod McBrien.
Still all the ultrasounds you want, but something happens and changes about the time you hear the first cry, you realize, holy smokes, you know.
Feels awesome. It's like I waited for too long. I waited so long for you to come. Hey, baby, finally got here.
Today, the newest member of the McBrien family is heading home. And the new father already looks like a natural.
From the minute we were getting ready to leave the hospital, I see this side of Rod coming out.
Make sure she's in the seatbelt. You know, get this around where her arm is.
God, I'm glad you know what to do, Rod.
I just felt like this is what you do and that's what you do. I don't know where that comes from.
This is outside. This is what it looks like outside.
Rod's instinctual. He has instincts and they kick in and he's not afraid.
So today, Rod's decided that baby's going home in Daddy's muscle car.
Well, this will be nice and comfortable for baby. Shelby Mustangs aren't the easiest thing in the world, but fits nonetheless.
She's good. She's doing good.
But this time, Rod's not burning any rubber.
You know, you can picture coming home with your new baby all you want. But then the day that it's happening is, it's surreal.
Oh, finally home. Hey, baby.
Welcome home.
You're like, geez, okay, good enough, I'm going back to bed.
We got home and there it was, that moment. We have the name?
Emma Ray.
Emma Ray?
Hey, Emma Ray. She says, I don't care what my name is, I'm hungry.
I have trust in Rod's words a lot more now about how he wants to find balance from work and having a family.
This is your room, baby girl.
I think the bed's too big. That bed fit Mikey.
All that I thought was important before is not really important.
Hi.
Balance baby first, and everything else balances itself.
On the next episode of Ice Pilots NWT.
There, we got smoke out of the engine.
A mid-air emergency.
She's spitting oil like a bastard. He's hitting fire.
Forces the crew down. The newest McBrien gets her Buffalo initiation.
There you go, I touched it.
And Scott gets a lucky break.
Is this a weird dream right now?